Welcome to Wednesday Comics. My name is Marvin. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, G-Dub himself. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin. Here to talk about comic book related things, as we always do, once every week. Settle into the studio here. You know, Garrett is in his own room. Alex is in his own room, and I am. We don't want to be in the same room, but we'll talk to each other through the glass. So that's what we do. That's our studio setup. And every week, Alex, we get together and chat about things comic book related, including we were talking about Spider-Man 2 before the show started here, and you were just explaining something that you your philosophy between all three games so far. What do you think?
I had asked Garrett and the guys the same question of like, what, where do you sit on which one of the three, the 2018 Spider-Man, the 2020 Miles Morales, or 2023 Spider-Man 2. And Garrett has says that, you know, Miles Morales is something just so sweet about that story. It's quick, it's concise. Miles does feel like a badass, and yet we're getting to learn these powers with him for the fact that it's different than what Peter had. But I'm struggling because I love the first game, but then I always think of the downfall of the stealth missions between Mary Jane or Miles, and just getting taken out of that Spider-Man realm that I like. Now, we kind of, you know, it's no spoilers, probably now, maybe 2 weeks in, most people have at least gotten to a stealth or a different, not Spider-Man mission in game two. And they're different. They're better than they were in the first game, but they're still, they take you out of that zone. And I don't know if I still can't appreciate them for what they are.
I think, Alex, I love those things, those breaks this time.
What
there's some that are good, like there's, we're all at this point now where you have to play as Mary Jane. She's not such a, you still can't get caught as her, but you do stand a chance to make it through.
Well, I would say keep playing them because they evolve, they're not the same thing every time.
No, and I got, and I mean, I was saying some of the side other missions that I've done are different, and I've enjoyed one of them. One of them was actually kind of a cool idea. It took me forever to figure out what I was supposed to do, but it was cool. I think the thing that I love the most about 2 right now is, one, it's got my favorite villain from Spider-Man, and then secondly, that city looks so big and so nice. It didn't feel that big in the other two games.
No, it definitely
right.
is.
I like that.
2.5 times what the other one was, but to your point, I would say, God, it's so hard. I don't want to spoil anything, but they do evolve, you know, and then eventually, you know, you're killing guys in the back of the head, you know, with a magnum. Oh, sorry. I didn't want to spoil it. Sorry. But,
I know. I feel like we're just circling a fucking flamethrower here. It's just like,
no, not Spider-Man. I'm saying Mary Jane. It starts, it's calm. And by the end, she's fucking blowing out heads. I said, give it time. But I was going to say that if I were you guys, and I think it's going to help, is maybe get a little farther in that story. Because there's been moments from where you guys are to where I am now that are so great that I was hoping that Alex at least got to one point of the story, because I wanted to be like, he's the best Kraven, I guess. Like, this is the best version of Kraven I've ever seen, I think.
Well, I've already felt that way, though.
Well, like, there's a moment coming up, Alex. There's a moment coming up, dude. It's so fucking good. I fucking, thinking about it now, got chills. And I'm just like, when I saw it, I just was like, this is going to be Alex's favorite moment in this game right here. So, as you said, I think it's a little mixed of the first game and Miles. Miles was like, yeah, like, as you were saying before, Garrett, like a different style, smaller, more concise story. It more kind of was showing off what they could do now. And it was a nice little taste in between. I'm assuming we're going to get DLC for this one, and also maybe like a half game too, because the half game seems to be like the brand new thing that people are doing. Like, they'll have like God of War, and God of War is going to have a game come out next year that's like the Loki part of it.
So excited.
So like, so I guess excited. That's a new thing. So like Spider-Man 2.5, whatever that turns out to be, it's, I think it'll be the same thing. You get a little nugget, then you get the whole, you know, then you get the whole movie, you know, it's just like a nice little event in between them. And I do like the concept of event kind of games like that, where it's like concise story, that's it. But I would say I would get a little more invested in that story. Because I will agree, the side missions I played so far, none of them, they're actually, nope, I played one of them that's very memorable. And was really good. The rest of them, there's a lot more, it seems a lot more of busy work than the first game, but some of them.
I don't know. I mean, I would say the side missions in this are, I think, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're also cool, but I feel like, especially, I don't know, there's just a lot more where it's like, I don't know, like the fire guys, I feel like, are really kind of more of a nuisance, if anything. And I don't, we'll get into it too much until we all finally complete it, because I don't know what to say right now, because I don't want to spoil anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main story, if I were to rank the both of them for where I am, I'm probably like 10% done in side missions. Or did I say 20 before? Whatever the fuck it was. And then I would say about 80% about the main story done. That, I bet if I played more of the side missions and stuff, I feel like maybe I would be in the same place as you. Like being like, oh, they're fun, but like it's not that moment that I'm like, God, this is gonna be our favorite moment altogether. Kind of even think back to like Dark Knight. There's moments where all three of us could say and be like, oh, so fucking good. Like the beginning, the score, right, of Dark Knight. That's what I'm talking uh-huh. about. There's a moment like that coming up here. And I didn't want to hype it too much, but like I was like, that's one of the staple moments that you're gonna say forever about comic books being their, what do you call it? Not spinoffs. What do you call it when they adapt it? Like the best versions of those. That's gonna show Craven that Craven because of what he does. But anyways, I don't want to hype it too much. But we won't talk about too much because I don't want to spoil it. Maybe we could say like in 2 weeks we'll talk about it fully. But we'll talk more behind the scenes.
That could be our Thanksgiving show when we're thankful for Spider-Man 2.
Oh, my God, yeah. We're gonna
and, you know, I might be in that neck of the woods. Maybe we do a...
Together? Maybe make some fried turkey hearts?
Hell okay, yeah. Never mind, I'm not coming.
I'll say this.
I rescind my advance.
I'm even now going to Michigan just to stay away.
Yep,
Alex. I think you're correct here. A Thanksgiving episode. That's what set it for us. Enough time, and let's say just the main story. You don't have to finish like every collectible and stuff like that. Obviously, I just we want to talk about the main story. We talked about the mechanics kind of last week and about how the gameplay was. And I don't think for me, I guess it depends. There's one. With you guys have the black suit, you said, and there's two iterations of it, it like upgrades. Do you have the upgrade?
No.
Oh, brother.
Nope. I literally just got the suit.
Okay, that's probably the only gameplay thing I would want to talk about. But so maybe, but if you do the story, you get to that point anyways. So anyways, I would say the main story we'll just talk about in the Thanksgiving episode. We're not gonna really talk about side missions and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I plan, you know, I have a big, I got to go control the deer population in South Dakota next weekend. So I'm trying to try this weekend really hard to wrap her up, at least wrap up the
story. When are you going to go do that? Next week?
Next weekend.
Oh, God damn. And then, you know, you have to go and save New York, and then you have to go and fucking save South Dakota out there.
That's high. I'll try.
He has to fight Kraven in the game, and he has to go beat Kraven. Out in South Dakota, respect.
Right. I need his nostrils. I need to smell.
We need to move. We need to move on because now you're getting me into it, Alex. The moment.
Sorry. Let it be. Let's move on.
Because I was pretended to be here for a second to say something about that deer, and I was like, no, because I was about to recite a line, basically.
You're making me want to play this game after we get done.
I'm fucking telling you, dude. Anyways, I'm just too excited about that game. I feel like for me, because this year has been stacked. If you are a game player, even outside of comic book related games, there's been a lot of good shit this year. So like when I was like, normally this would be like no contender. This is the best game that came out this year, but now you're looking at fucking different games left and right that have been coming out here. And Alan Wake 2 just came out, and I think Garrett, did you get that yet?
Not yet. I don't know if I can choke down the $70 bill yet.
Yeah, so wait a couple seconds.
Black Friday, if it.
Or you know what? You just bit. get Game Pass for a month, and you could just fucking play it on there.
It's already on there.
Yeah.
Damn.
There's a lot of games that just get released.
Yeah,
on
the Game Pass. The day of launch, all first party games are on there.
Wow.
How do you have this Xbox, and not know about this Game Pass?
I don't have an Xbox.
He used to. He doesn't have the current gen.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
What game came out? Halloween 2?
Huh? What the fuck are you guys saying? Alan Wake 2.
Alan Wake. I heard
Halloween 2. I thought, when did that first one come out?
Wait, is Alan Wake 2's out for PS5? It is. Okay. In my head, because the first one was exclusive to Xbox, I thought the second one only came out for Xbox. And that's why I was like, why don't you just fucking get Game Pass? And then when you said you didn't have an Xbox, I go, well, then why the fuck are you excited for an Xbox game? This makes more sense.
Hey, did it come out only digital? Or is it coming out?
It's only digital.
Yeah.
Seriously?
That's the new wave, Alex. That's the new wave, baby.
They said it wouldn't be, they wouldn't like make enough money to if they did disc, like for the game to come out. Like, it's just too advanced.
They actually
laser disc.
They actually, like Cyberpunk 2077, the PS5 version, they never made a disc, and now they are in the process of like making that, and it's going to come out soon. But there's no disc for that one either. So.
Well, it sounds like Cyberpunk needed a disc, though.
Well, it comes on 2 discs, I believe. So
yeah, well, still.
No. That's
the information.
I'm sorry. That's Baldur's Gate, because I was researching that for Alex, and they said there is one physical copy currently. Like, it's like the master copy, and he said that's 2 Blu-rays. And when it comes out of Japan, it'll be 2 Blu-rays. So. I think that's more and more it, Alex, because when you see these fucking download sizes, if you actually are downloading them, how huge these things are in the storage, that the you have to add more Blu-rays because it can't hold as much, and I think it's affecting their production costs. So now they do only go if they break digital and like they get so much money and there's demand for physical, then they do it. But
well, I say Alan Wake, then I'll have to wait until number 2 eventually maybe gets to come out or not. That's unfortunate.
You know what, Alex? I'm going to build a machine that just like... I'm thinking about ROMs. I was going to say, I'm going to build a machine that makes it into something you can play. But
I mean, I think that's one of the things that, like, if comic books ever went away, but it all went to digital, the collecting market would be so... I mean, I'd be screwed.
Well, I mean in a way, though, this...
saving so much money.
What did you say, though? That what you currently had, though, would be more valuable when the supply is.
That's true. I mean, that's you're talking about all these new games that have come out this year, and I think I have bought at least 30 new games.
That's
not including the old vintage games I've been buying. It's the new games are a shitload.
It's crazy, and once again, it's not a gaming podcast, but it's crazy. And I think it might be the year that I not only play the most games, but also finish the most games, which I'm very proud of. That's a habit, Alex. I've been trying to rectify, and I got it working with games, and now I got to start finishing, you know, comic book series and books.
Well, I'm gonna bring it full circle, because I did download the Midnight Suns DLC. It was half off on PlayStation this week through the 8th, I believe. So now I can get Deadpool, Venom, I think whoever the other two are.
Storm and
Magic.
No,
I might dabble in that game here on Black Friday.
Yeah,
that's one that I am planning to play after I beat Spider-Man 2. Is start that one.
It's good. I would temper your expectations if you think it's a more action based, because it is like a card kind of game, but also it's not really a card. It's like between. If you're Baldur's Gate 3 and a card playing game. But I think it's very cool. I think it's very
cool. It looks like, I thought it was like XCOM meets Gwent almost.
Right, yes, exactly. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get that, but I'm also going to dive into Assassin's Creed Valhalla, since Odyssey was so awesome. Catch up in that universe. So.
And There's two. So in the daytime is when you go on missions, and then at night you actually go back to the mansion in that game and you just socialize. It has like a social game, and you decide who you're going to become close to and who not to, because it gains you advantages in fight.
Oh, Emma Frost.
And so that I think that also has its charming. It's not like you can tell it's not fully fleshed out, but what they give you is a lot. If you're a fan of the comic books or fan of those characters, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
So Emma Frost is in the mansion?
No.
I'm not buying it.
She's not in the game.
Oh, I'm not playing it then.
Who could I sleep with?
This is the Midnight Suns.
Whoa. Yeah, Midnight Suns with the White Queen. I want to see her.
No, this is Blade, motherfucking Wolverine, Captain America.
Captain America's in it?
Spider-Man. Doctor Strange, Magic.
Iron Man's in it.
Ghost Rider.
Iron Man, Ghost Rider.
You know, I do kind of regret not pre-ordering that game, because they had a exclusive Iron Man figure for at GameStop for people that pre-ordered it. Should have got it.
It's a cool game.
You know what, Garrett? I bet you could still find that somewhere.
I believe I bought this last year on Black Friday, Garrett. Or maybe I didn't, whatever. But they make that one Legendary Edition now, and I bet you anything Black Friday it'll go down. It's always one of those games that goes on sale, so
right.
Just keep your eye on that. By the time it's December, November, Black Friday rolls around, you'll be done with Valhalla. So
you gotta remember, he's killing deer here in a couple weeks. He won't have time.
And Spider-Man. Well, you know what, just skip Valhalla then, I think, you know?
I totally forgot this Arkham Asylum Funko just came out.
Speaking of superheroes, thanks for getting us back on track. Let's talk about a superhero that is just... wait a second. Garrett, we have a book club?
Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents...
Local Man. We're talking about issue 3 this week, but it is... I'm reading the whole trade. So let's just say volume 1. It's what we're talking about here by Tim Seeley and Tony Fleece. This issue 3, I tell you one thing, and this made a bit. Sometimes when you read comics, do you put headphones on and listen to music?
No,
I used to.
You just not read in silence.
I like a little white noise in the background, like, you know, like a bathroom fan maybe, or like a. But yeah, sometimes like. I try to do the music, but then I think about the song more than I'm thinking about the comic, and it takes me out of it. Like if I play like a Batman score and I'm reading Spider-Man, then I'm just like, why is Spider-Man in Gotham City? It doesn't make sense.
Okay, I'll just say this then, if you don't do that. I was just going to say that I do when Johan Johannesson is like a composer. He did like the music for... Mandy and for like Arrival, the movie. Anyways, I was listening to one of these songs while I was reading issue 3, and I don't know. I'm going to give props to the team over there at Local Man to say that this issue was amazing so far out of the three of them. But I don't know whether or not that music helped. It was really intense. Was this an intense issue for you guys?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like, well, you know, the cliffhanger of
the fright
of one into two. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would say that. I didn't think this was the most intense out of the three. No, but it was intense. Like the cliffhanger again was very intense. But I still think Hodag hanging, getting gutted is still more intense.
I thought the fright. What's your name, Stacy?
Yeah, I think so.
Stacy Poole? I think it's her name. Man, I'm trying to go back here and see, but you can obviously tell I'm struggling over here because I'm not used to the way these comics, Alex, you know. Haven't picked one up in a while.
You're out of sorts. I get it. Not used to it.
But when she's getting attacked by that guy and saying, if I fight you long enough, you want to fight back, right? And it wants to stay alive, so it'll start protecting you. I thought that scene was very intense, and I don't know if that's the part. I don't know whether or not the music was... just fucking kicking in, bro. You know what I mean? And it went along almost like a movie. And then the whole part when he's talking to his former girlfriend in high school, and then she obviously not getting married to that chief of police, and she tells him, like, I have powers too, and, like, they have that all kind of reveal. Again, whether or not that music helped it or not, I don't know, but those two scenes for me were very, very much super intense in this issue, and then I was like, this is the best one yet. I don't know. For me, it is.
Oh, I maybe I need to be listening to music. It was a good issue. I really did enjoy it. I felt, like Garrett said, probably the prior two were even more intense.
That priest almost got ran over.
He saved him, though.
He saved him. And then, obviously, is getting in trouble by a camel crusader.
Well, intense can be in the moment, and then it's solved, but it's still going to be an intensity.
See, I thought this one was, like, laying the base for more to come. So, like, we had really two big whoppers, and then we got, like, a junior whopper. Now we're about to go to some more whoppers.
I think the thing is that once I saw that, once Local Man had talked to Fright, and she went to her went to the hotel, and then all of a sudden she has this moment, I thought, oh, she's going to get attacked. We're going to have someone who's killing off villains or supers.
Also, when Mr. Crusader, you know, is gonna go talk to fucking Crossjack.
Yeah, he's gonna go. He's gonna be like, "Hey, you broke the rules, man."
You're saying I'm getting a little pre-excited. This was not the intensity. The intensity is building.
Right.
Mm.
I mean, no. I think the plot thickens is how I would say it.
Oh, like, okay.
The person that obviously did Hodag did Fright. So we're getting closer to the eye of the storm.
You're saying not to get too excited, just right to that edge, you know, because then it'll get thick. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Okay.
It's like those, you know, fat thick Reese's that come out every year.
You guys tell me, is this too intense of music to listen to with comic books?
Not right now, at least.
I don't know. Seems very sci-fi-ish.
But that's also in the eye of the beholder. I mean, for you, that might be intense. Getting there now.
Yeah, that's too intense. That would make anything intense.
Listen to this shit, man. I was fucking, like, in this Inga, shit.
I ate that donut out of the garbage. No! It's definitely the music now that you play it,
bro. When he's like, you see the perfection, the way everything can be, the best it can be, and that's why you had to leave here, because you can't be the best you here. I understood all that.
Oh my God, I understood.
That's another thing. Like the last issue, I said when we had that confrontation with the mom, and it comes very unconventional kind of story. Plot point, and then this too, like, it's not her being like mad about what happened, jealous, or even into him still. She's just like, I understood why you left, and I've never been mad.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like so, with he's that backing, to go with into that back, battle of his life
with that backing, you can see anything can be fucking intense. So
yeah, I mean, the dog deserves that theme, but I don't know about her being like, hey, it's okay, you fucked up,
you know what,
life goes on.
I'm gonna get this fucking gold issue, because these backups in the little back part of it are also like my probably best superhero stuff I've been reading, like classical kind of superhero stuff. Like,
dude, gold is awesome, and it connects to a lot of, like, it's really cool.
In a way, it's like playing tribute to those old Image comics, but also making fun of them a little bit. And we're like, I forget her name, where she's like, I have to show the most skin possible to, like, be powerful. Like, that's how she gets her powers, the more skin she's showing off. And
Laser Light or whatever her name is?
Heartlet, I think. Maybe. I don't know. But
that's what she gets called, as a harlot.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was her name.
She's being called a hula bag.
Like, it's obviously a little tongue-in-cheek with how they treated female characters back in the day. But also, like, it also was paying tribute, because they're like, it's also, you know what, sometimes, though, when you break it down, it's just fucking fun. It's like, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. You know, little Beast Wars. I don't
remember if they're cartoons calling girls harlots or hoe bags, but okay.
What the fuck? You didn't watch what I watched. Ren Snippy?
You know, for the record, I had half expected that Crossjack really did, you know, break that threshold of trust with Camo. And then to find out, no, it was her. She goes, no, hell's here on Earth. My boyfriend's off doing other things. You're here right now. Let's do it.
Right, because in the main story, he kind of crossed that line because he misunderstood. And then she's like, no, he likes you so much, he wants you to like me. And I was like, God damn. God damn.
I don't think that's the same
that
thing.
That
oh my God.
Is, he wants you to like him. He wants you to like him. And he wants you to like him so much, he said, you like me. Me.
You're right. She did listen to that song.
Jesus Christ.
Well, here, play that again. Play that again. Okay. Play it again. Thick. Fat. Reese's.
Wow. Peanut butter cup.
Waterfalls of caramel.
All right. Yeah, I think we've confirmed this a little bit, the music.
So, yeah, I would say just 95%.
So maybe if you want to read issue 3 while listening to Jonah Johannesson Drone Mass Part 2, fuck it, it's intense, and that'll get you in it. So there we go. That book, I really am enjoying that book so immensely. I look forward to it, and like today, did a little peek at issue 4, just looking at the cover and the inside. And I wanted to continue, but obviously, like we stated, my brain cannot contain that kind of information. I would mix it up.
I had to be kind of weird. Issue 6 came out, so to stay caught up on comics, I read issue 6.
You're fine though, because you're not like me. Like this Spider-Man 2, I could have spoiled the shit out of this and not known it, because I don't know when these events happen.
I was half expecting you to show the Daily Bugle in flames.
not that, but something else does.
Yeah, fuck off.
Here we go. To end the show. To end the show, because this is, even though this is the day after Halloween, this is going to be our 2 days after Halloween. Just because how scheduling worked out. We got, you know, me and Alex got children right now. I don't know, Garrett, probably, yeah, I know he's working on it, practicing. And.
Well,
it's a Halloween we really couldn't
cats
get
out
together.
Of the bag, guys. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
You said you're fuck off too soon.
we didn't have time on actual Halloween because we were trick or treating with our kids. And so we're going to do the next day, and then my kids want to go to sleep. And so here we are, the 2 days afterwards. It's supposed to be a Halloween episode. But so we got a couple scary things here. One of them, Garrett has something to say. And then, secondly, I asked Todd to write us a little horror story, and we're going to read it. So I haven't looked at it. I haven't read it yet. I just saw how long it was, and I was like, God, Todd, that's perfect length right there. That's perfect. So, Garrett, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, I'm just bringing a cryptid to the table. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it before. Have you guys heard of the Sheep Squatch?
No.
Sheep, like a sheep is Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, yes, right. I'll send you a picture, and maybe Marvin can upload this later. But this is an idea of what it looks like.
I'm just gonna post it on X because I think I'm tired of trying to make good content for X because it's going down the tubes. I'm just gonna tweet that out and no context around that picture. So
okay.
And then when you watch this, it's like fucking it's Memento. When then you listen to this, you're gonna be like, oh shit, and go back and look at it.
So this is the Sheep Squatch, also known as the White Thing. It's a woolly-haired cryptid reported across numerous counties in West Virginia, predominantly within the southwestern region of the state. It is described as being a quadruped about the size of a bear with entirely white wool-like fur.
Is the bottom one a different one?
Those are just two interpretations.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
This is a legend. This is a cryptid that's hiding somewhere. But it's described as being as a quadruped about the size of a bear with entirely white wool-like fur. It has a long and pointed head, similar to a dog with long saber-like teeth. I'm just bringing it up because I have never heard of such a thing, and so I did some research on this bad boy. So the first sighting of a sheep squatch was in 1994, and that was a year after I was born and like 15 years after you guys were born. And a former Navy seaman stated having witnessed the beast breaking through the forest. Yeah. Right.
Oh, the thing
you were created by 15 years earlier. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he saw it drinking water out of a brush and then it ran away. So not that spooky, not that spooky, but it did try to eat some children.
Ready, Garrett?
So there was occurrences in 94, Garrett. 95, 99, and then the last one was 2015 is when they saw it.
Garrett, you ready?
I'm ready. Oh, here we go. Here we go. The beast was reportedly 8 to 9 feet tall, with a shoulder length of 4 to 5 feet. Some people were camping, and they first saw the beast at the top of the nearby hill in a crouching position, ready to leap onto them and eat them whole. The campers looked in horror as it searched for a way to cross the valley, and with no other option, it began to wade through the river towards them. It finally came out of the water. Whoa, where's the music?
The song ended. Hold on, I'll restart it.
And then it was on all fours. And just like when I talked about the Beast of Bray Road last year, it went from 4 feet up to 2 and started walking towards them. All right, Marv, that's too loud. I can't hear shit.
All right. that top, but, I'll tell you what, Garrett. Do you have more?
Just one little bit.
Oh, okay. So I'll turn down.
It's the sheep squatch, and you can see him. He's in featured in the Destination America series Monsters and Mysteries, and I guess he was in a DLC for Fallout 76. So, which I believe that bottom image is from. Oh, here's another image. I'll show you. I got an even scarier one of the sheep squatch.
Sheep squatch.
Oh, fuck you. And if we had the sheep squatch on our side, and you know how we were talking about the Yeti 2 years ago? We would be safe.
Sheep squatch. Thick. Buttery. Butterfingers.
Look at that thing. Kit Kat bars.
I can't figure out. Oh, there you go. Holy
shit. That one is kind of creepy looking.
Okay. I was going to say the one from the game looks like it's almost all skeleton, you know? And that top one looks like Wolf of Brimley. So, you want me some Quaker Oats? No, that's not. Quaker Oats is a different guy. Sorry. Those weren't that scary. That one, it looks scary. So,
yeah.
I do fear them. I do fear.
So me. I didn't have a story. I was just like, hey, right before you said, hey, we should talk about scary shit. I was like, I heard about the sheep squatch for the first time. And I was like, what the hell is this thing? Okay. So
there you go. The sheep squatch or the Shaun the Sheep, we'll call monster out there somewhere. So, Todd, I will read this. Hand me this fucking script. You motherfucker. Here we go. Here we go. Where's the top of your story? Here we go. All right. Here's the story from Mr. Todd AI. What? Nah, I'm just going to read it, bro. Here we go. In the heart of a desolate, eerie town, there loomed... hold on, guys. He's saying I have to do this. All right. In the heart of a desolate, eerie town, there loomed a decrepit corner drugstore. Faded its sign, barely visible in the dim moonlight. The town's residents spoke in hushed tones about the sinister secrets hidden within its weathered walls. Corey, a brave yet reckless boy, was drawn to the store, unable to resist this ominous allure. One chilling evening, Corey ventured into the drugstore the floorboards creaking beneath his cautious steps. The shelves were lined with dusty, ancient potions and jars filled with grotesque, unidentified substances. As he reached for a jar on a high shelf, he inadvertently knocked over a sinister-looking book bound in human skin. The book opened to reveal horrifying deceptions of an entity known as the E.T. King. The journal told of a malevolent being capable of shape-shifting into the deepest fears of those it encounters, tormenting them in unimaginable ways. It offered twisted wishes, each one more sinister than the last. Corey's heart raced as he stumbled into danger. Corey delved further into the journal, reading chilling accounts of encounters with the E.T. King. The entity revealing and inflicting pain and despair on its victims, granting wishes only to ensnare them in its wicked web. Unable to resist the temptation, Corey decided to confront the E.T. King, hoping to put an end to his reign. One fateful night, beneath the balmy light, the baleful light of the red moon, Corey ventured to the graveyard, a place cursed by the town's dark history. He arranged marigolds in a sinister circle, and he whispered a cryptic riddle from the journal. A cold, evil presence in the air. The E.T. King emerges from the shadows, its form shifting into grotesque shapes. With a wicked smile, the entity says, "I can grant you your darkest desires, but the price is your very own soul." Corey, gripped with the fear and desperation, wished for power beyond imagination. The E.T. King crackled with glee as granted his wish, twisting his newfound abilities into a curse that would consume him. The nightmare's transformation was unbearable, and Corey realized too late that the cost of his wish was eternal suffering. The E.T. King vanished into the night, leaving Corey forever trapped in his own personal hell. The corner drugstore remains a sinister monument to this evil entity, luring unsuspected victims with the promise of desires fulfilled. The town's darkness deepened. Its residents lived in perpetual dread of the E.T. King and the tormented soul of Corey. A chilling reminder of the price one paid for making a deal with an evil entity. I think it's the music.
It's definitely the music. Because Corey totally would have sold his soul, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know, and then he would have been like, "Nah, realize too late, he fucked up," and he can have the ultimate power, but he's too crippled by his pain to do anything with it.
Every time you say Corey, all I kept waiting for is Corey to show up on the show.
I figured we wanted to wrap this up quicker than normal, and I figured if I brought Corey on, that adds like 30 minutes. So I included him in a different way.
But, there you go.
Helping Todd make a story about him. So there you go. There's Corey the E.T. King. He'll be back next week. Garrett, Alex, you can find them on Twitter at Garrett2188 and at the AP Keaton. Go to WednesdayComics.com for more information to find and subscribe to us on Twitter X at Wednesday Comics and Facebook at Facebook.com/Wednesday Comics Podcast. Go to WednesdayComics.com to subscribe to this show. If you're somehow listening to this, you know, a la carte with ice cream. That's what al dente means, right?
It means uncooked noodle.
Damn it. What's the thing when a la mode? That's what it is, with ice cream. And if you caught this one a la mode, then maybe you want to subscribe, go ahead and go to WednesdayComics.com, and that's where you would do that. Also, Spotify, probably the easiest way since this is directly from the Spotify studios. Like I said earlier, we're all in separate rooms right now. There's glass between us. And Alex, for a second there, when I was saying that story, was trying to make me laugh, you know, kind of fucking mooning me through the window. And I bear through it. So, and then when we leave, we go in separate tunnels. They go to separate parking lots in our separate cars and leave. So, this is Spotify Studios. So go to WednesdayComics.com and you can subscribe via Spotify too. So there you go. Roots of the Swamp Thing.com. Roots of the Swamp Thing.com. Go there. Anything you want to know about Swamp Thing? You know what? I'm going to say that's the Swamp Thing Encyclopedia. And you know, the Library of Alexandria. You know about that, Alex?
What is that?
It ain't got shit on RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. That's what it doesn't have. Also, make sure to go to RainbowComicsAndCards.com. RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Get some of these comic books we've been talking about today. This local man trade we're going to be talking about. And then I got to go find that fucking gold, baby. And that's where I think I'm going to go. I'm going to go to RainbowComicsAndCards.com. I'm going to say I need this issue of gold. And they're going to say, you know what? It was so popular. It sold out. And I'm going to say, here's what you're going to do. You go out there and they're going to go to temples. They're going to go to underground caves. You know, they're going to go and maybe find the Ark of the Covenant. And then eventually they'll find that comic. They'll bring it back to you and say, here you go. We found it. That's the kind of service you're going to get, Alex.
And that's when you ask, what did it cost?
Everything.
And what do I owe you? Nothing. I mean, there is going to be a cost. That's not saying it's free. All right. RainbowComicsAndCards.com. There you go. Anything else? SuperCon. We won't talk about that for a little bit, but congratulations to them on a successful year, breaking records of attendance. And the extra space kind of helped because it did kind of spread that out. It didn't seem as busy as it has in the past, even though it was busier than it has ever been. So, congratulations to them. And congratulations to us, guys. We're here tonight talking about, you know, a cool video game, a cool comic, and then we heard a little story about a cool kid named Corey. So,
well, the story was cool.
Cool kid, yeah. That Corey, you know, obviously, if the Corey version, the adapted version, is always better when you talk about Corey. So, I mean, it's going to work every time. They had the concept kind of right, Garrett. But it was they never executed it right in the original one, and you kind of have to take it into your own hands. Like this story, that Corey, at the end, learned a valuable lesson, and I think that's just, you know, in this day and age, what you got to do, learn lessons.
That's right. Learn lessons and don't forget shit.
I guarantee you, if we were to ask him, if there was a demon who came up to you and said, "I'll grant you one wish." Would you wish for all the power in the world? And I bet you he would say yes.
Yeah. But then that's why there's an evil twin and a good twin.
Right. You know what? I'm going to ask him. That way I can post right in the book cover. I can put based on a true story. So.
Exactly.
There we go. For Wednesday Comics, my name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone, find those codes and keep turning those pages.